The Haunted Haze. I'm Josh.
I'm Kristen.
And this is episode 35.
Yep, I'm excited too. You know why?
Why's that?
Because it's Halloween.
It is Halloween.
Yes, on the day we are recording this one, it is literally Halloween.
Yeah, we're recording it the day of Halloween. How spookier can that get?
Yeah.
But to make it even spookier, today's subject, we're talking about seances.
Yes, I'm excited. Seance is like really intriguing to me.
Yeah, this is the time of the year where we can possibly talk to the dead, or the veil, they say, is a little thinner.
Yeah. On our In the Flesh episode, we talked about, would you do a seance? And both of us said yes.
Yeah, pretty like, quickly, right?
We're like, definitely would do that. And I still wish I could. Like, I don't know, does anybody listening, do you guys host a seance?
Oh, really?
Especially please invite us.
Well, on Halloween, you know, like, throughout the years, like, this has definitely been the night to do a seance, right?
Right. We're not doing one tonight.
No, not tonight.
we're not doing one in our house, I don't think, either. Like, can we come to your house for
the
seance?
Yeah, we're not going
to
do it here. I don't want to trap anything here.
Yeah, me neither. I don't even want to open that doorway here.
We can't just sage and it'll be okay?
I don't think it works like that, really.
Oh, damn.
I think, like, we sage to keep the door shut. Once it's been opened, I don't really know.
See, I just go along with that. I'm like, yeah, okay, sure, yeah, this works.
You know, maybe believing like that makes it work like that.
Oh.
Okay, let's get into it. So I have some good facts about seances. A seance is defined as a meeting where the purpose is to make contact with the souls of the dead. Seances are usually conducted at night around a table, and most of the times these meetings, or sittings as they are sometimes known, are led by mediums. Mediums are people who claim to be able to communicate with the deceased and deliver their messages to the living. People have been fascinated with communicating with the dead since the very beginning of humankind. In Australia, cave paintings showing skulls, bones, spirits, and depictions of the afterlife have been found. These are believed to be 28,000 years old.
Wow.
Mediumship became hugely popular in the Victorian era, and this meant that many mediums employed fraudulent methods to make themselves more well-known.
For sure.
Investigations into these supernatural occurrences by various individuals, including Harry Houdini, proved that many mediums were in fact fakes, and the practice lost credibility and popularity.
Wow, yeah.
Today, we're looking into a deeper and dark practice of seance, the mediums and the tricks they used. We'll look at famous practitioners, supporters, and those who sought to debunk mediums and phenomena. If you've ever wanted to know more about ectoplasm, table tipping, levitation, and direct voice mediumship,
yep,
keep listening if you dare. All right, so speak to the dead.
You know, well, hang on. That made me think, like, okay, so 28,000 years ago, they did the cave paintings, but
yeah.
Obviously, people have been dying since as long as there's been people.
Right.
But how mind blown was the first person when someone died?
Oh.
Like, what?
And, like, do you think, like,
wake up.
They're, like, asleep?
Yeah,
like,
they
have been
forever.
Sleeping for a really long time and they're starting to fucking stink.
Yeah, well, I gotta move out.
I think it's time for you to move out of the cave, Steve.
Yeah. Guy on the couch, wake up.
We're moving Steve out of here.
Yeah, I bet that was mind-blowing, like, when the first time when someone died.
Yeah, for sure. I can't even imagine. Death is hard to cope with.
It's hard for me to even imagine,
yeah.
Like, early people, to be honest.
Yeah, same. Like, honestly, like, their life was hard.
Yeah.
I'm thankful that
they probably had all kind of...
born.
Well, when it came to death, I'm sure they had all kind of crazy thoughts, you know? Like,
oh, for sure. Yeah, I want, like, I don't know, that's just, you're right. I've never thought about that, the first death.
Yeah, right, the first death. All right. A movie about the first dead. All right, let's get into seances.
All right, speak to the dead. Death is difficult to accept. And so, since the dawn of time, people have anxiously tried to communicate with those who have crossed over to the other side. Rituals are practiced all over the world by a multitude of different cultures, all with the same goal in mind: receive and send messages to the dead. Whether or not anyone has actually succeeded in doing so still remains to be seen, but practices like this still continue today. Although the first book on the subject of communication with the deceased was published in 1760, it wasn't until the mid-19th century that the religion of spiritualism was born. Spiritualism is the belief that spirits live on in the afterlife or spiritual realm and that they continue to evolve. Spiritualists believe that the souls of the dead can communicate with them using seances and help guide them. Mm-hmm. Seances have been held in the White House.
Oh, interesting.
Abraham Lincoln's wife, Mary Todd, did not take the death of her son, William Wallace, well at all. She was unable to move on because she could not let him go. William was only 11 years old when he died from typhoid fever in 1862. Sad. Instead of moving through the grieving process, she stagnated and became heavily involved with spiritualism.
Wow.
She organized...
She's obsessed.
Yeah. She organized seances together with well-known spiritual mediums of the time to be conducted at the White House, all in the hope of speaking to her son once again.
Wow.
These seances were also attended by her husband, as well as other respected members of society. However, whether or not Mary Todd was ever able to speak with her Willie, as he was known, remains a mystery.
Where's my Willie? Please, God, where's my Willie?
It's
That's
sad.
Awful.
I know. Like, she just couldn't accept it. I wonder if they had any other children.
What was old Abe doing the whole time? You know,
went to, I mean, she probably
to
come.
Yeah, he broke down. He's like, all right.
I'm coming,
Mary. I'm Abraham Lincoln, though. I ain't doing this more than once.
Like, this happened... Abraham Lincoln lived at the White House that Joe Biden currently lives at. That's the same White House?
We're going to edit that out. Like I said, the big old JB. We're going to get kicked off of everything.
Okay.
Shitter. Shit pants.
All right. Tricks used. Okay, we have to start that again. So, shit pants. All right, the world's first recorded seance. The world's first recorded seance took place in the 1840s and was performed, oddly enough, by two young sisters. These two sisters, Kate and Margaret Fox, played a vital role in the history of spiritualism by having their seances recorded in text. The Fox sisters created a unique system which involved tapping on the table, which they called rapping. They would use various methods, one of which involved tying an apple to a piece of string and bouncing it on the floor, then asking the spirit to recreate the sound. Their older sisters, as well as many friends and family, were convinced by their performance and helped them build successful careers as mediums.
Wow.
40 years later, the two confessed that the rapping was a hoax, but recanted their statements later.
Huh.
I've heard of them before.
Yeah.
I've heard that. So, it's like weird. I don't know.
I think they're probably full of it.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, oh, sounds.
Yeah. Because that's the whole thing to me about this whole... I guess maybe we should have talked more about our feelings about seances prior, but... it's one of those things that I think there's a little truth to it.
Yeah.
But there's also a lot of exaggeration.
Right. And I don't necessarily believe... Like, we've talked about this, like, the Dead Files.
Yeah.
That lady is a medium.
Yeah.
I believe her. Like, I don't know what it is about her, but, like, when she walks through a house, I believe that she is being genuine about what it is she sees.
I know, there are
feels.
Some people that I feel like, damn, that seems kind of genuine, yeah.
But
I
don't
believe there
know,
are mediums.
But some people, you know, that are, like, sensitive.
Yeah.
I think that some people say they're sensitive and they're really not. I think a lot of it is that. Like, yeah, they think that they're sensitive, but really they're maybe just like...
Are you in judgment right now? Because I think I'm a little sensitive. I might kind of feel, you know, energies around me.
No, I've seen that. So, like, I believe you.
Oh, okay.
But, like, I think
a lot of people, they're just dog-faced liars.
Yeah, a lot of people, I think. Okay. But then at the same time, like, where do medium, like, are people who, are like, read your tarot in New Orleans, are they considered mediums?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, that's all kind of a practice of medium, spiritualism, yeah.
All right. Well, here, let's read a little more about mediums. Most seances are led by a medium. A medium is a person who claims to have supernatural ability to facilitate communication between the living and the dead. Some mediums claim to be guided by a spirit guide or familiar. This spirit helps connect them to other spirits that have passed over. Mediumship can take many different forms, but the most popular being where the spirit takes over the medium's body and uses their voice to deliver a message.
Yeah, I've seen that depicted in several movies and stuff.
Mediums also sometimes produce physical manifestations of spirits using methods such as rapping or tapping, table tipping, telekinesis, and ectoplasm. Some perform feats such as levitation or showcase their abilities by reading sealed letters. In Victorian times, spirit photography was also quite popular and practiced by select mediums, as was slate writing, a practice where mediums produce written words without consciously writing, claiming instead to be guided by spirits.
Yeah, that was kind of like, remember when we watched that Kelly Osbourne and Jack Osbourne thing? Yeah. They were on the ship.
Yeah.
And she was sitting in there blindfolded, and she was just like spitting out words that came to her.
Yeah.
Or images that she had. That's essentially what they're talking about with slate writing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just but they're like,
explain it.
But they're like actually physically writing instead.
Yeah, well, yeah, but sometimes they might be saying it out loud.
Oh, okay.
You know what I'm saying? But yeah, a lot of them will just write.
Yeah.
Right.
And I've seen that. They also, that happened in The Evil Dead.
Yeah. Stuff like, you know, so, like I said, like, I feel like there's some truth to it.
Yeah.
Also a lot of bullshit. Because you just write anything. Like, I am scary man coming behind.
Death.
You know what I mean? Like, okay, yeah. Are you sure a spirit told you that, Larry? Yeah.
Okay. Ectoplasm. Ectoplasm is believed to be the material manifestation of an inner spiritual energy that mediums can use to help them communicate with spirits. It's usually excreted as a gauze-like material from the mouth, nose, or ear of a medium when they are in a trance state. Ugh.
Yeah, I know.
That's not what I thought ectoplasm was.
What?
A gauze-like material from the mouth.
I think they just mean that as, like, stringy, like gauze. Mm. But it's actually, like...
goo.
Gooey.
I think ectoplasm, I think Ghostbusters.
Yeah, I feel you. But ectoplasm is one of the things, like, I've never seen anything like that. But if that happens to be true, like, that's the most... that's a weird phenomenon.
Well, let's learn more about it. This was often witnessed by guests at Victorian-era seances. Some witness accounts state that the ectoplasm begins as an almost translucent material and then becomes darker the longer it's exposed.
Interesting.
Mediums of this era claim that they could only produce ectoplasm in darkened rooms as the light conditions would cause the manifestation to disintegrate.
Seems a little sus.
Numerous investigations, some by the Society for Psychical Research, have proven fraudulent methods used by so-called mediums to create ectoplasm. Some mediums would swallow materials such as cheesecloth, paper, egg whites, or muslin before a sitting and then regurgitate them during the seance.
Oh.
I know, that's disgusting.
What's that smell like?
Horrible.
How do you just keep... you vomit it up?
Like, you have control like that?
Some people do, actually.
Oh. That's horrible. All right, Ouija boards.
Ooh.
If you've ever watched a horror movie, you'll likely be familiar with Ouija boards. These boards also are known as spirit boards or talking boards, and they were first produced in 1894 by Hasbro, Inc., and were used as a parlor game until spiritualists discovered that it could be used to speed up and simplify communication with the dead. The board is marked with all the letters of the alphabet, as well as the words yes, no, hello, and goodbye. These boards were often used in seances, where the participant placed their fingers on the planchette, a heart-shaped piece of wood or plastic, and it's moved around the board by the spirits to spell out a message. Most people today believe that the planchette is actually guided by the participants in an unconscious movement that they're not even aware of.
Wow.
I mean, okay, so as two people who have felt that pull,
yeah,
of the planchette moving and you're not doing it, it's literally like it's being pulled.
Yeah, exactly.
And
it
so
it literally feels like it's being pulled.
It doesn't feel like it's being pushed.
No, it feels like being pulled.
And that's how you, like, that's how I knew it wasn't you doing it.
Yeah.
Because I knew it wasn't me doing it, and I knew it wasn't you doing it because you would have pulled it.
Yeah.
I mean, you would have pushed it. But it felt like it was being pulled to the letter.
Yeah.
Do they have, like, Ouija boards in other countries that have, like, their alphabet on them?
Ooh, I'm not sure. That's interesting. I wonder if that is, like, only, like, a European and American,
like, English-speaking thing. I don't know. All right.
Surely not. They probably have other...
By now, there's definitely some alternative language Ouija boards, for sure.
Well, I'm sure there's, like, certain, like, yes or no things. I mean.
Oh, yeah, for sure. All right, voices of the dead.
Ooh.
Leslie Flint had a unique talent as a medium. While other mediums received messages and repeated them, Flint claimed that through his spirit guide, he was able to let the voices speak for themselves in their own voices. This is called direct voice mediumship. He often performed at a seance bound and gagged to demonstrate his skill, but always in the dark. He would even, on occasion, perform from inside a cupboard.
My biggest thing is it's always in the dark.
Right. And, like, inside a cupboard? Yeah. Just because I see you be bound and gagged and put inside a cupboard. Like, I've gone to a magic show.
Right, yeah. We know you're not actually bound.
Okay, but, like, at the same time, in the 1800s or whenever he was doing this, those people had never been to a magic show, probably.
Oh, yeah, they were gold. So it was, they were, like, eating it up. Like, ooh. Well, they gagged him, Jerry.
He was famous for his claims that he could contact dead celebrities, including Oscar Wilde, author Conan Doyle, Winston Churchill, Marilyn Monroe, and even the Greek mathematician Archimedes. All right, so I was wrong on when he was doing this, so he must have been doing it in the 1900s, obviously, but still, so those people had been to a magic show. But Leslie conducted his first seance when he was 17 years old and claimed that his spirit guide, or familiar, was the child named Mickey, who had died in 1910.
Oh, Mickey.
He claimed to have seen his first spirit, a dead uncle, when he was only 7 years old.
Wow.
So, I mean, like, I'm not saying that maybe that didn't happen.
I definitely feel like there's some type of veil, or dimension, or plane, or whatever you want to call it, and children can see through it, or
right,
see, you know what I mean? And I think as you get older, it kind of like your pineal gland, they say, calcifies as you get older.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you have less, I guess your dreams are less vivid, maybe?
I mean, I can say right now, I very rarely have dreams.
Yeah.
And when I do, I forget them quickly.
I know. I don't really ever have good dreams. All my dreams are mostly nightmares.
My most recent dream that I can remember was a nightmare. It just happened recently. Yeah, I was thinking it must have been from a movie that you made me watch this Halloween season.
Oh, yeah. We've been trying to watch a movie every night.
All right. Table tipping. Before Ouija boards became available, spiritualists would often use table tipping as a method of communicating with the dead. At table-turning seances, they would all sit around a table and put their hands flat on the tabletop. The letters of the alphabet would be called out, and the spirit could spell out messages by moving the table at certain letters. Sometimes the table would only show small movements, and other times it was recorded to have spun or lifted off the ground entirely. The problem with this method was that it just left plenty of room for trickery and deception. Just like the Ouija board, the table could have been moved by participants without them even realizing it. Fraudulent mediums were also known to use hooks inserted into their sleeves to induce tipping, or a ring, which was connected to a nail that would in the table with fishing wire.
That's it. But to bring up the Osbournes again, remember watching their little show and they showed the girls all doing it? Do you remember? But it was like the table was like vibrating.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I mean, it was like tipping, but it was like, I don't understand, like, it couldn't have been them like rocking it, I don't think. It just seemed almost more was like it was like vibrating.
I would only believe that if I could fully inspect the room and the table before I sat down.
These, like, being in the dark, I would definitely want to inspect everything. Like, you know, let me check this out. You know what I mean? Like, I just feel like there's too much trickery and it's too obvious that you can only do certain things in the dark or in a cabinet or
right
behind a curtain.
If you really wanted me to, like, I guess they're saying that's the only way the spirit comes to them, maybe.
Yeah, but even
but
still.
Yeah, like, it's just, I still, it's just too, of course that's the only way the spirit comes to you.
Yet again, like I said, probably some truth, a lot of bullshit.
All right, did Sherlock Holmes believe in seances?
Well, my dear Watson, do tell me.
The pipe-toting sleuth may have been all about sound methods of detection, but his creator sure wasn't. Sir Arthur Conan Doyle was raised as a Catholic but rejected his faith in early adult life and became agnostic. This was partly due to his interest in mysticism and spiritualism. Doyle was involved with psychic investigations, which included seances and claims of poltergeists and other supernatural activity. Doyle was one of the founding members of Hampshire Society for Psychical Research in 1889, and he also joined the London-based Society for Psychical Research in 1893. Doyle was a true believer. Many believed that the war-related deaths that he witnessed, including that of his own son, influenced his beliefs, and it allowed himself to be fooled by medium trickery.
Oh, wow.
That's another person who
just wanted to believe it.
Because they lost their child.
Exactly. A lot of people just want to believe it because they lost a loved one.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's interesting, you know, and they're willing to believe anything you tell them, you know.
Right.
If there's just a sliver of truth to it.
I'm jealous of, like, people, just particularly in my family, I know at least two family members have had dreams of being with, like, my grandmother.
Oh, wow.
And I'm so jealous of that.
Yeah.
Like, I wish I would have a dream like that.
Yeah.
And it's like,
you just said you never remember your dreams, though.
I know, but I think I would remember that.
Let me not. You probably dream about it every night.
And I'm just not knowing.
You just don't remember it.
What a bitch that would be.
She's like, I'll come see you every night, but you can't remember it.
I don't know. I wish I would. Because the other night I had a dream I was getting murdered, so I don't think she was there on that one.
Oh, really?
All right. Ghostly art. William Hope was a paranormal investigator who is considered to be one of the leading pioneers in spirit photography. He produced his first spirit photograph in 1905, claiming to have captured the image of a person who had crossed over to the other side. Although there were rampant claims of forgery and plate switching on the camera, Hope amassed quite a following, even becoming the leader of his own spiritualist group. He attended many seances, even joining Harry Houdini and Arthur Conan Doyle on more than one occasion.
Wow.
Spirit photography was discovered by a man named William Mumler in the 1860s, who uncovered the technique by accident. He saw that by using double exposure, he could insert other people into photographs and realized that he could sell such pictures to people who had lost a loved one.
Wow.
He finally was exposed as a fraud when the people he used as ghostly images were identified as living persons.
Damn. They're like, hey, I know that guy.
Well, again, on the Osborne thing, like, every time Ozzy sees something, he's like, double exposure.
Yeah, double exposure. So that's what he probably heard about that shit.
Yeah.
Back in the day, it was always double exposure.
So, but, like how Jack said, you can't double expose digital.
That's true.
And yeah, a lot of, I mean, I do kind of believe in spirit photography. Like, orbs and stuff like that being caught in pictures or on
some
video.
Some orbs, I believe. Some orbs are either are definitely dust or bugs.
I find orbs interesting when you see an orb, like, go across into a doorway and then that door opens.
Or there's, like, it's not... I like the stuff that's not actually, like, an orb where it's more like a... You know, like a line or something.
Oh,
it's like pulsating looking and floating weirdly.
I just think that sometimes, like, especially, like, we see it now, like, on Ghost Adventures or something, they always are, like, just snapping pictures around the room. And sometimes in just one picture, there will be, like, a silhouette.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. To me, I believe mostly in energies.
Yeah.
And I believe everything is energy. And I believe your spirit and your body is all energy, and that energy goes somewhere. It might connect with another energy and go on, you know what I mean? Some of it might get left behind and you get stuck haunting a house.
Yeah.
Know? I don't know.
All right. Society for Psycheal Research. The Society for Psycheal Research was founded in 1882, and believe it or not, it still continues to operate today. 135 years later, the society was formed by a small group of well-respected, highly educated men with the intention of studying paranormal events and their effects on humans in a scientific way. Today, we refer to this field of study as parapsychology. During the early days of SPR, most of their work and research centered around investigating and exposing fraudulent claims of paranormal events. Sometimes the men would also try to recreate certain phenomena to discredit them. In the late 19th century, they also sent members into seances to expose bent mediums and investigate claims of spirit photography.
Wow.
All right. Spiritualism and AA. Bill Wilson was a strange man. He had a taste for liquor and the supernatural. He loved all things paranormal and even went so far to devote an entire room of his house to mystical items.
Wow.
He affectionately referred to this room as the spook room and believed that while spending time in this room, he was able to communicate with past over spirits, kind of like a one-man seance.
Wow.
In his autobiography, Wilson claimed that one of the spirits he encountered through using his Ouija board was that of a monk named Boniface, who had lived in the 15th century.
This is Boniface.
He said that Boniface not only helped him overcome his own alcoholism, but helped him create the famous Alcohol Anonymous with tried and tested 12-step program.
Wow, that's insane. I didn't know. You know, it's interesting, too, that they call alcohol spirits. And there's some, a lot of people believe that the reason it's even called that is because getting drunk invokes, like, it's not you anymore. It's like spirits entering your body.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I always thought that was interesting. Like, then that's why they call it spirits. You know?
I've always wondered why it was called spirit. I thought it's because you were like, woo!
Well, yeah, but
you spirited.
Know, well, because you got jazz fingers. No, but seriously, think about it. Like, think about people you see get really, really drunk.
Right.
It's like, you're not even you.
Oh,
anymore,
right.
You
for know? Sure.
So, the possibility they lowered some of their energy, and it allowed, some type of spirit to enter them. You know, I don't know.
Well, that is really cool that he said he, through his Ouija board, communicated with a 15th century monk, and...
While he was drunk doing this?
It said that it helped him overcome his alcoholism.
Right.
So he was drunk at first.
Well,
at
he
least.
Was definitely drinking doing that.
So. Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean,
spirits.
That, and like, obviously, the 12-step program, it's pretty fucking effective for a lot of people.
Yeah, that's true.
Maybe not everybody, but I think it works for a lot. All right, levitating.
Ooh, this is my jam.
Yeah. Levitating in a dark room is one thing. There's easy ways to employ all kinds of trickery. But what about doing it in a large, well-lit room numerous times and never to be revealed as a fraud? There's one man who did it, and his name was Daniel Douglas Holm. Holm made a name for himself in the seance scene with his incredible gravity-defying feats of almost 40 years.
Wow. That's so funny to me that there's a seance scene.
How do I get invited?
Yeah. How do I become a seance scene kid?
Yeah. That's a good Halloween costume.
I'm a seance scene kid.
Man, I could do that today. All right. One of his most famous performances occurred during a seance in 1857 when five people witnessed him rise 5 feet out of his chair. And this was recorded by author Conan Doyle in a book, A History of Spiritualism. Another well-known levitation occurred at a sitting in 1871, and this was witnessed by a man named Sir William Crookes, who later became the president of the British Society for Advancement of Science.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah. All right, and then last but not least, Harry Houdini.
Ooh, Houdini.
It may surprise you to know that the legendary magician and escape artist Harry Houdini actually made a living conducting rig seances before he found fame. In fact, Houdini was heavily involved with spiritualism until his beloved mother passed away. He searched for a true medium to help him communicate once more with her, but failed. Houdini switched sides and went on a mission to try to expose as many mediums as he could, attending over 100 sittings. Strangely enough, he left instructions for his widow Bess to try to communicate and contact him after he passed away, which she did. She held annual seances for him, and when she died, loyal fans took over. So far from the famous escapologist hasn't reappeared. Is this the proof that he spent his life searching for?
Yeah, that's really... Houdini's really interesting. So he did spend, like, the latter half of his life, like, trying to disprove fake mediums.
Right.
But it didn't necessarily mean that he didn't believe in it.
No, that's what I take it as. Like,
yeah.
I think that he probably... You sit through 100 medium or seances.
He did. He still... That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, he knew it could work. He just was never able to connect
and
with
so
his mom.
He did tell his wife, like, a secret word or something. He's like, if this is true, I'll come back and say this word, and allegedly only them knew.
Yeah.
But she spent years and years trying to do it and just never got in contact. But it's interesting, too. Harry Houdini... died October 31st, 1926.
Yeah, so exactly 95 years ago today.
And it's kind of crazy the reason he died. He got punched in the stomach. A kid bet that he could knock the wind out of him or something like that.
Yeah.
And Harry Houdini, like, stood up and the kid punched him in the stomach. And he could claim at the time that he wasn't prepared for the punch.
Yeah.
Is why it damaged him on the inside and he... died of his appendix.
Yeah, his appendix ruptured.
His appendix ruptured.
So was that like a thing, like Harry Houdini was like, oh, you can punch me as hard as you can in the stomach and I can take it. I mean, that's a dude thing. I've seen
he you know, like how David Blaine does like the mentalism stuff? Like,
yeah.
You gotta stay real focused and you can take this.
Oh, right, yeah.
Yeah, he would like have like things like a board jammed into his stomach, you know.
Mm.
But the thing was is he thought that he was... He didn't tighten his abdomen up enough when the kid punched him. So he thought he was just bruised. And he went around for a couple of days until he was actually performing a stunt and then collapsed on stage.
Mm.
So even while he was doing all the spiritualism seance things, he was also still performing and doing like the handcuff, like release stunts and stuff like that.
Yeah, Houdini's really cool.
He was a very interesting guy, actually. The fact that he died on Halloween is just kind of added to his mysticism.
Especially, like, him being as into seances as he was.
Yeah.
What a coincidence he died on Halloween.
I do believe he was a believer. He was just he went out of his way really to discredit a lot of like of the big names in the seance scene back then. Yeah. Right?
So, but like, you know, I think that like some people, like he was never able to be connected. His mom was not able to be connected. Like some people you just can't connect with. And I think that's because like their soul is not on this dimension anymore.
Yeah, maybe it traveled on to another
like
plane.
It passed on. Yeah. It went to the next level or whatever.
Or somewhere else.
Or yeah, and so, but like you can connect with some spirits here.
Because they
decided
not to, they were too afraid or decided they didn't want to leave or whatever it might have been.
Yeah.
Like they might just be lost and don't even understand why they're there, you know?
Yeah, man, it has so many questions about what happens when you die. It's a little scary.
I know, it is kind
of
scary.
But at the same time, I feel like it's got to be a little bit of a relief.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they say, like, when you look on someone's face that's passed, like, they always kind of have, like, this slight smile.
Yeah.
As if, like, they're at peace.
Right.
Yeah, so.
I don't know.
I don't know. A lot of people say that this whole plane is about the whole reason we're here is we have to experience suffering. Like,
everybody.
Our soul, for whatever reason, has to understand what suffering is. It's kind of like the saying, like, you can't have the good without the bad.
Yeah.
You know, you have to understand what suffering is to understand the important, or, you know, the opposite of abundance, I guess.
I have one more question about some of the stuff I said. Levitating.
Yeah.
Chris Angel does it.
Yeah.
He's tricking us?
Probably.
It's an illusion.
Yeah, I believe...
He's an illusionist, though, I think.
Yeah.
Okay, so then he's not actually... He's just making...
David Blaine, I've seen him levitate on the in the middle of the street. I really have no idea how he does it.
I've seen a picture where it looked like somebody was levitating, and it's really just like a watermark on the ground.
Mm.
It looks like their shadow.
Wow.
But it's just like perfectly placed where it's like they look like they're levitating. But if I saw somebody levitate in person... I don't know. Like, I want to see that.
I want so badly to be able to do that. I wanted to... If I could only know one trick, if I only had one thing, I just want to levitate.
Like, how hard is it to look up how to do magic tricks? Like, I never do because I don't ever want it to be ruined for me.
Yeah, I
don't want to
spoil it. I don't... But I'm talking about... I want to legit be able to levitate. I want that to be, like, one of my superpowers.
That's not
going to
happen.
Yeah, it might be. It might can happen. I might become an X-Men.
You're telling me you would choose levitating over
teleportation?
Teleportation, yeah.
No. It's teleportation, levitating.
Yeah, okay.
Why can't I do both?
Teleporting is my number one. If I could have a superpower, that's what I would do.
Oh, yeah.
It would be dope as hell to be able to teleport.
Anywhere?
Yes.
Yeah.
And, like, anything I'm touching can come with me.
Yeah. Yeah, anything that's touching me can come with me.
That would be...
Yeah, it's perfect.
Yeah.
I love it.
If only we could have superpowers and pick our own superpower.
Well, no, we're here in this world to suffer, so...
Suffer we shall.
All right, well, so I actually want to talk a little bit more about some of the tricks that they were used.
Oh, good.
It's pretty interesting, like, how far these people went out of their way to unfortunately, like, feed off of, like, you know, heartbroken people a lot of times.
Right.
You know?
I think a great movie that anybody could watch that's, like, interested in this is that Ouija Origins of Evil.
Oh, yeah.
There's, like, she's a medium who holds seances and...
Yeah, she's bullshitting.
She's tricking, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think some of these people are legit, but I also think a lot of these people... are full of shit.
Yeah,
you know?
I agree with you. Like, it's a lot of bullshit, but there is some truth to it.
All right, so today, self-proclaimed psychics tend to get a bad rap. But during the late 19th and early 20th centuries, they enjoyed celebrity status. Whether the medium performed at home or on stage, the chance to see them summon disembodied hands, decipher otherworldly messages, and belch up ectoplasm was considered quality entertainment back in the day. I could imagine.
Yeah.
These so-called communions with the dead have since generally been debunked as clever parlor tricks, thanks to skeptics like Harry Houdini. But knowing the behind-the-scenes secrets of seances doesn't make them sound any less entertaining. So the spirit rapping. The famous Fox sisters had spirit rapping to thank for their careers. After their mother heard mysterious knocks coming from the walls and furnitures of their home, she concluded the noise was metaphysical in nature. The Fox girls were indeed responsible for the rapping, but the source was actually apples that they had tied with the string and bounced against the floor of their bedroom. The sisters used this concept as the basis for their medium act. During seances, they would recite the alphabet and pretend to wait for spirits to slowly spell out the messages. The ghosts they were corresponded with weren't really ghosts at all, nor were they apples. Rather, the girls produced the sounds themselves by manipulating the joints in their knuckles and toes. Wow.
It's like they're like, we have a weird talent. How can we, what can we do with this?
Let's exploit this. After relying on the trick for decades, one of the sisters decided to reveal her fraud to a live audience by banging her bare toe against a wooden stool to show how it was done. The New York Herald wrote, "There stood a black-robed, sharp-faced widow working her big toe and solemnly declaring it was this way she created the excitement that has driven so many persons to suicide or insanity. One moment it was ludicrous, the next it was weird." All right, so the manifestation cabinets. See, I don't like these because you have to, like, hide in the cabinet.
Right. And we see, I remember we, not too long ago, we watched a documentary where somebody did that. It was like a group of people in the room and she was in the cabinet. Yeah.
Like this now. Yeah. All right, so after first appearing on the seance scene in the 1850s, manifestation cabinets, or spirit cabinets, soon became a staple for the genre. Mediums would enter the cabinets, often curtained off sections off stage, with their hands bound to prevent them from faking any paranormal activity. To gain full trust of the audience, they sometimes invited spectators to come on stage and tie the ropes to their liking. Once the curtains were drawn and the lights were extinguished, all sorts of spooky mayhem took place. Hands poked from out between the drapes, ghostly figures materialized, and instruments left on the floor of the cabinet started to play themselves. At the end of the scene, the curtains parted to reveal the mediums still tied up just as they were left. This was a convincing trick in its time, and all it required was a little escape artistry to pull off. The medium would slip their bonds as soon as they were out of sight, freeing their hands to stand in for the rambunctious spirits. Meanwhile, accomplices would wait for the lights to go out and slip through the trap doors elsewhere on stage. As long as the ropes were refastened before the trick's conclusion, the audience was never the wiser.
Hmm.
All right, so spirit slates. This is where they're like writing all the words down.
Yeah.
An alternative to tedious task of spelling out messages one letter at a time via Ouija board, mediums often used slates that spirits could supposedly write on themselves. Seance participants were given a pair of black slates and told to jot down their messages to deceased on slips of paper that was then sandwiched between the boards. Once the slabs were bound together, the medium would hold the sitter's head, shoulder, or perhaps hang them from the chandelier for a few moments while waiting for the spirit to convey their thoughts. After finally separating the slates, a mystical message would be revealed inside. There were a few ways for mediums to pull this off, one of which involved a strategically placed square of cardboard. A black sheet cut to the exact size and shape of the slate would be laid inside the frame, hiding the pre-written message beneath it. When it came to take part, the two slates the medium lifted up the prepared cardboard off the top and left the flap to cover the slate on the bottom. The extra slate was quickly brushed away, with the note from the great beyond providing a convenient distraction.
So not exactly what we thought it was.
Yeah, it's not. Pre-written messages, huh? All right, so ectoplasm. On occasion, lucky seance participants were treated to the sight of ectoplasm oozing from their mediums. It was said to be part of a supernatural veil separating the spiritual realm from the physical one. The trick required near darkness or else, according to mediums, the ectoplasm would disintegrate. Once the conduit reached a trance-like state, various orifices would secrete the material, signaling a breach between worlds. One of the mediums best known for this phenomenon was Martha Barrow, also known as Eva C. or Eva Carrier. Instead of extruding ghostly goo through her mouth, nose, and ears, she stuffed them with muslin or similar fabric. She sometimes added photos clipped out from newspapers to give the ectoplasm a bit of personality. This signature touch ended up being her downfall. The faces she used, which included those of actress Mona Delza, King Ferdinand of Bulgaria, and Woodrow Wilson, were eventually recognized, exposing her deception. It's like, you got a little lazy there, didn't you? Yeah. All right, so here's one we haven't talked about. Spirit trumpets.
I'm interested.
Right. So one of the most unusual accessories to come out of the spiritualism craze was the spirit trumpet. Without context, the instrument more closely resembles a cheap telescope than a tool for communicating with the dead. Such contraptions were believed to amplify the whispers of spirits and could produce sounds when the medium was nowhere near it. Of course, the medium was behind every murmur. A rubber hose connecting the trumpet on stage to a manifestation cabinet could be threaded between the carpet, allowing the out-of-sight psychic to provide the vocals. More outrageous accounts of trumpets floating around the room in a bright light, tapping the sitters on the head, talking and going through a whole lot of strange maneuvers without any assistance from mortals. In the 1903 book, Mysteries of the Seance and Tricks and Traps of Bogus Mediums, the author advises readers who have heard of such seances to sprinkle a little salt on this table before you swallow it.
That's funny.
So, again, it's one of those things. No, we got to turn on all the lights. No one can see it. All the lights have to be off.
That's what gets me.
But then the trumpet will do a little dance for us. But it doesn't want to be seen. All the lights have to be off.
Yeah. It only dances if you can't see it. What? Anytime you look away, it starts dancing.
Yeah. Don't look at it or it won't dance. All right. So next, fire tests. Mediums would sometimes subject themselves to a series of trials to prove their connection to the spiritual realm. One especially convincing trick was the fire test. The mediums in question boasted that a special power given to them by the spirits made them impervious to heat. They backed up this claim by holding hot coals, waving their hands through flames, and performing other feats of pain endurance. The reason they were able to pull this off without screaming in agony boils down to chemistry, a mixture of a few basic components, namely camphor gum, whiskey, quicksilver, and liquid storax. It could all be used to create a fingerproof glove of sorts. But no matter how desperate you are to take your seance to the next level, this is the one trick we don't recommend you do at home.
Right.
Don't try to burn yourself to see if you can talk to the dead.
Yeah. Like, you're like trying to prove yourself of something.
Right. So, like I said at the beginning, unfortunately a lot of these seance tricks had like some legit meanings, right?
Right.
But when it comes to certain things like what we've experienced with the Ouija board, you know, things like that, like, I do believe people can have visions. I do believe people can see things or go into a building or a home and then get that energy.
Right.
You know, I do believe that.
They can just, like, really read the energy.
I do believe that spirit boards, you know, even if they're drawn or they're bought at a store, you know, can be used to talk to something.
Right. I think it just, like, the idea of a Ouija or spirit board is just, like, it is how much more simple can we make it to communicate with the dead?
Well, my favorite part is that it was a scene.
Oh, yeah.
The seance scene. That's hilarious to me.
Yeah.
And it totally makes sense because people were probably fascinated about death, right? And so there's going to be a ton of people that are going to try to make I don't want to work a real job.
Yeah.
I want to fake you out and get your money because you think I'm telling you what your mother is telling you from the grave.
And people are still fascinated with death.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that has not gone away.
It's probably the number one fascination that we probably try our best not to think about.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But it's, I mean, it is something that we all think about.
Yeah, probably on a weekly basis, probably.
Yeah.
At least, if not a daily.
Right.
All right, well, tell us what you think. Have you ever had a seance? Have you ever performed a seance? Have you ever been involved in a seance?
Yeah.
What's your seance experience?
Or do you know anybody? Like, have you ever been fooled?
Right. I also love the things, you know, like they show like in The Craft, like the light as a feather, stiff as a board.
Oh, right.
Things like that, or the plank thing where it makes you like real stiff.
Oh, right. I mean, I've done light as a feather, stiff as a board. There's one where
you can levitate, like push on people's fingers.
If you that's light as a feather, stiff as a board. Everybody does their thing. Oh, okay.
But there's also something like if you push down, like on people's fingers somehow. Yeah.
I think I vaguely know what you're talking about. It was like a trend. Like.
Well, we would love to hear the various ways that maybe you've tried to contact the other side. You know, obviously the Ouija board is one of the main ways, so please send us your Ouija board stories.
Oh, yeah, we love hearing those.
They're so interesting to us. Mainly because we've had our own experience from them.
Right, and so we just always like to know that we're not crazy.
Yeah, and as always, you can email us at hauntedhazepodcast@gmail.com.
And you can find us on Facebook and Instagram at hauntedhazepodcast.
Awesome.
I'm stoked.
All right, well, let's play Versus.
All right.
So, Versus, as always, we take one scary thing and we put it against another scary thing and we decide which one we think is scarier.
Yeah.
And this week it's going to be.
Oh. Deep woods versus deep water.
Ooh. So, like, deep forest. Being lost in the deep forest or being stuck in the deep waters.
On a boat.
Or just what's out there. What's scarier?
Oh.
Well, I'm going to have to go with water.
Me too, because
I'm
severely handicapped in the water.
Exactly, first off. Also, like, who knows what's in the ocean? I'm a land creature, so I'm a little more familiar with the forest, obviously.
Right. I think I could at least like find something to eat. In the deep water, you can't even eat or drink unless you have that with you already.
Well, here's the thing, too. I know for sure there's real monsters in the ocean.
Oh, right. Like, what is that percentage? Like, oh, yeah, a killer whale.
I'm not for sure that there's Wendigos or Bigfoot. There might be.
Yeah,
I'm not saying there's not.
But you know there's a great white.
I know for sure there's great whites.
Yeah.
So.
No, I feel. Yeah, I agree.
And squids.
Deep. Oh, giant squids.
Yeah, giant squids.
Yeah, I think the deep water is scarier.
Yeah.
That it's really almost not a debate.
Even at night. Even if you said it at night, it's even more awful at night.
Yes. But in the daytime, you also have to think of the sun exposure.
I think we're thinking more of like what's in it.
Oh, as okay. I'm thinking of stuck out there.
You know, still like what's you scarier. Said,
the ocean.
Yeah.
Because like I can't swim long enough to keep myself alive for that long.
Just treading water.
Yeah. Or like I can't swim to land. Probably. You know what I mean? Like I don't know how far I can make it, but it would probably not be that far in the ocean. and just the salt water, you can't, like, I don't know, it's just, and what's in it, like,
you're really thinking this, you hate the ocean, I hear you.
I don't like the ocean, really. I mean, it's pretty, but
is it just scary, too scary?
Yeah.
Okay. But
stingrays,
I think any
jellyfish, yeah, crabs, I mean, like, there's so much bad in the ocean, even in the shallow water.
You're right, because you'll go camping.
I love camping and getting in river water and lake water.
Yeah, you'd rather do that than go to the ocean.
Yeah.
Like the beach.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd rather go to the beach. Well, I don't know. I like them both pretty equally, but I like going to the beach.
I like the beach because, I mean, I love the sun and the atmosphere, and I do get in the water. I'm not, like, that kind of person. Like, I do get in the beach water.
For sure.
Up to my waist, even.
Well, that's about as far as I'll... That's absolutely as far as I'll really go.
Yeah, me too. Because after that, I have so much less control.
Yeah, I just the ocean's too much for me. Exactly. Like, I'm like, that's too scary.
It is scary.
It's so scary.
And like, what is that percentage of like how much of the ocean we've even discovered?
I don't know, like 3%.
Very little.
It's like something crazy.
Yeah, like in the trenches and stuff that are down in the deep ocean.
Well, so much pressure, we can't put anything down there. You know what I mean?
Technology isn't that advanced.
No, that's
not
amazing.
Yet.
Who knows what we would find?
Like, what? All right, Jeff Bezos, I have a new mission for you.
Yeah, screw space. Like, go check out the ocean.
Let Elon handle space, and you can handle the deep ocean. It just makes sense.
All right, so yeah, we're definitely going to go with deep ocean.
Yeah.
But as always, again, tell us what you think. Thank you, everybody, that's taking the time to check out our podcast again.
Yeah, for sure. And I know that it's a little late on our end, but happy Halloween to everybody.
Yeah, happy Halloween. Hope everyone had a good Halloween.
Yeah,
is having
same.
A good Halloween.
Same.
We love this time of year. That's why we're a little bit behind on the podcast. We've just been doing so much fun
we've
Halloween
stuff.
We've
been so busy. Yeah, we've been going to I think we've checked out almost every haunted house.
Yeah, why not?
It's
the best.
We've had our Halloween parties. Yeah,
concerts.
Shows.
I've been playing shows.
We've been super busy, so we were a little behind on our Halloween episodes, but we're excited. We got ideas. We have subjects. We're ready.
Oh, yeah. This October has definitely re-energized our thoughts for the podcast, so we have some cool subjects that we're going to come up here pretty soon.
Yeah, and it's getting cold outside already in Memphis. It's like really all of a sudden it's like, all right, let's be fall now.
It's fall now.
It's perfect time to do some podcasts.
Well, if you enjoy the podcast, as always, reach out to us, hit us up, review it, like it, spread the word, spread the message.
Sure, and follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Haunted Haze Podcast.
Yeah, tell your buddies, tell your friends.
Yeah.
Also, hit up our Hippie Haze Studios.
Yes.
If you want some unique art,
tie-dye,
some tie-dye,
sash
a unique gift to give your friend.
Yes.
We got you.
For sure.
Check it out, look it up. We can always
we can customize
it for you.
If there's something that you like or the product, but you're not really seeing exactly like what you're looking for, like just let us know. The earlier the better. And we can definitely get whatever you want made for you.
And another thing, it's getting cold outside, so you're going to need to warm those bones.
Oh, yeah.
And we got the perfect thing for you.
Devil's Divine Coffee.
Yeah. From Griffith Roasting Company.
Yeah.
It's our collaboration with them, our unique coffee blend.
Yeah.
Specifically for this podcast.
Yes.
It's not any other blend.
It's honestly, it's delicious.
It's super delicious.
And it's, like you said, there's something about the cold weather and coffee.
Yeah, it's another gift idea. You can help out another small business. It also helps out this podcast.
Yeah.
It's really the only sponsor that we have. Go check them out. Give them a like. How can you find them?
You can find them on Facebook and Instagram at Griffith Roasting Company. And from there, there's a link to their website where you can do online orders. I think they do local deliveries. They'll definitely get you hooked up. You can see their entire line of coffee flavors. They have a lot.
Absolutely. And I'd like to give one little shameless plug. Obviously, I make music and stuff. So my band's playing some shows right now. We're called Defy.
Yeah.
So check it out. Also, I make my own music, Levitation's View. Check that out.
Yeah, for sure. You should plug it.
Yeah. Any of the music that you hear in the episodes, it's actually, I've done all the music. So
yeah, I think you've done a great job with that.
Any of the background music or the intro music, yeah, that's me. So it's been fun.
Yeah, you can also find Defy on Instagram at Defy901.
Yeah, there you go. Check it out.
Come to a show.
Hardcore music.
For sure.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I hope everybody had the best Halloween, the best Halloween season.
Bless
I hope you
solid.
Got spooky. I hope you carved a pumpkin, and I hope that you left that pumpkin lit all night on Halloween.
Yeah, keep the traditions alive.
Yes. Take your kids trick-or-treating.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, until next time, happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween. Peace out.
Peace out. Stay haunted.